Well, it is good to see you all. My goodness, there's a good group out today, so it's good to see you here. I hope you've enjoyed that singing as much as I have, because it was good. She picked some good songs, didn't she? Yeah, those are great old songs. I loved them. Brings back a lot of great memories of worship. All right. Today we're going to be in John chapter 10 in just a minute, but I'm going to give a little background first. But let's pray and ask God to help us understand what we're about to do, okay? Father, I thank you for this incredible time we get to have together today. Thank you for this sweet group. Thank you for the wonderful singing and the wonderful songs you caused to be written so long ago that are part of our heritage and part of our memories. And Lord, they're wonderful and they're sweet. And we thank you that we get to praise you and worship you with these great hymns of the past. And Lord, we're about to look into your word now, and we want you to be our teacher. Father, I know that if I do this in my flesh and in my strength, it won't be worth much. It'll be worth nothing. Apart from you, we can do nothing. But Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit, fill me with your Spirit, all of us here. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to us through your word. Lord, every time we open your word, we know we're opening something very powerful. Your own infallible, inerrant, perfect word. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it penetrates us. And Lord, even when we read things that we've read many times before, like we're going to today, we know that you still speak through your word in a powerful, exciting way if we'll just listen. So please, please be in charge. Please be our teacher. Please help me to share what I'm supposed to share. If I'm thinking about sharing something I shouldn't, blot it out of my mind. If you want me to share something I haven't thought about yet, put it in my mind. Just be in charge and get glory for yourself. We pray in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. All right, we're in the Gospel of John. And in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, we read about Jesus healing a blind man. He had been blind his whole life. From the day he was born, he was blind. And it was an incredible miracle and a wonderful miracle, an awesome miracle. But you know what? Weirdly enough, it upset the religious leaders of that day, the Pharisees.
Why?
They wanted, I'll tell you why in just a minute. That's a good question. No, don't hesitate. That's all right. You asked a good question. They demanded an explanation from the man first. He'd been so beautifully healed, been blind all his life, and they said, give us an explanation. And I bet some of you can probably remember one of the first words out of that man's mouth. He gave a really beautiful answer. He said, one thing I know, once I was blind, now I can see. You remember that? Yeah, isn't that awesome? Very simple and very beautiful. That's what Jesus did for him. He was blind and now he could see. And Jesus does that for us. We're spiritually blind. And when Jesus comes and heals us, we can see. We can see. He heals blindness. Anyway, the Pharisees didn't like that man's answers. So they threw him out of the synagogue. So Jesus very lovingly went and found that man again and talked to the man and revealed who he was. And the man trusted Jesus. It's beautiful, beautiful. He trusted Jesus and he worshiped Jesus right there. It's a beautiful story. Well, at the end of that chapter, the Pharisees challenged Jesus. And they asked him, let me just read it. Said, some of the Pharisees near him heard these things. These are the last two verses of chapter 9. And they said to him, and this is sarcastically, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. And that closes out chapter 9 and brings us to chapter 10. Now remember, when the Bible was written, there weren't any chapters, so it just keeps going. So at the beginning of chapter 10, we're going to find Jesus still talking to these same spiritual leaders. Okay? They've set themselves up as spiritual leaders. They have not been appointed by God. They've just set themselves up as spiritual leaders. What they're really interested in, and this is the reason to answer your question, they wanted to preserve their power base. They had power over the people, and Jesus was a threat to them. He was working miracles, and the people were starting to go after him, and they didn't like that. They wanted to keep the people under their own control. Yeah. So they were really interested in keeping their own authority. They showed no signs of loving people. They weren't loving people. They'd set themselves up to lead these people, but they weren't loving them. They were kind of like little petty tyrants. We're in charge, we're the boss, we're ruling over you. And they established these ridiculous religious laws, laws that really were designed to kind of enslave people with legalism. And the Pharisees would claim to keep those themselves. They said, oh, we're very meticulous, we keep it all. But it was all an external show. Because Jesus said in another place, their hearts were like dead men's bones. It was just rottenness inside, just an external show. But they tried to look like these super righteous religious leaders, and they loved their power. Well, Jesus despised that human, man-made religious system that they'd come up with. They called it God's system, but it wasn't. It was their system. And he despised their lack of love for the people that they claimed to be shepherding. And they proved, by the way, how little they loved people by the way they treated this blind beggar. They didn't say, whoa, what a miracle. This is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. They didn't say that. They got angry because Jesus threatened their power. So they not only didn't care about the blind man, they actually threw him out of the synagogue. I mean, that was pretty hateful stuff. Now, I need to say this. Those kind of guys weren't just limited to Jesus' day. God's people have always had to deal with some of those kind of guys. They've always been around, even in the Old Testament. For example, in Ezekiel 34, and God talks about this several times in the Old Testament, but here's just one example in verse 2. He said, Son of man, God's telling Ezekiel, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep?
Right.
Yeah. And they were feeding themselves. Well, that's the same thing Jesus was dealing with them. The prophets had to deal with them. Jesus had to deal with them. There are guys out there like that today, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There are guys who set themselves up as supposedly being ministers and pastors, but they've learned that they can profit themselves by exercising authority over other people.
Mm-hmm.
They're false prophets. The New Testament calls them wolves. Jesus called them wolves. Paul called them wolves. They're hirelings and they're deadly. So these guys are lousy excuses for shepherds. And so here in chapter 10, Jesus is going to use the illustration of a shepherd and a sheep to help those people and us, because it's written in God's word for us, to know what it really means to shepherd people. And it's beautiful. So it's what we call a metaphor. You know, it's a figure of speech. And it would have been very familiar to the people of that day because they knew all about shepherds. The land where these people lived wasn't really suitable for farming. It was too rocky. But it worked for shepherding. As long as they kept moving their sheep from place to place to ensure they had enough grass, they could raise sheep. So that's a lot of what they did. But it was a dangerous place for sheep because there were wolves there. They had to be protected from wolves as well as thieves, and they needed a shepherd to protect them. This is not the first time that we see God using this metaphor in Scripture. He talked about this in other places. For example, in Psalms, you remember the most famous psalm of all? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's that metaphor again. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. In Psalm 77, he said, you lead your people like a flock. We're like a flock of sheep. In Psalm 79, he says, we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. In Psalm 80, the prayer is, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. You lead Joseph like a flock. Psalm 95, he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. So it's all the way through the Bible. It's in the New Testament too. In 1 Peter, in chapter 2, Peter said, Jesus is the shepherd of our souls. And then, yeah, I love it. And then whoever wrote Hebrews in chapter 13, he calls Jesus the great shepherd of the sheep. So it's all the way through. It's not just in John. He describes himself as a shepherd and we're the sheep. Now, as I understand it, there were two different kinds of sheepfolds that were very common in that day. One of them, it was common for the towns to have a kind of a central sheepfold. It was a common area in the town where all the sheep could be kept at night. And there was a man called a porter whose job it was to watch over these sheep during the night. So what would happen is the shepherds would bring them in from the fields into the town. They'd bring their sheep into that fold, and then that porter would kind of keep a watch over them while they went to get a good night's rest somewhere. So that's one kind. In the morning, that shepherd would return. He'd go to the porter. He'd start to speak to the porter, and those sheep that were his would perk up their ears. It's kind of like today if we left our pet dog at a kennel somewhere and were gone for a few days, and then we came back and that dog heard us talking to the owners of the kennel, that dog would get all excited, you know, oh, I hear my owner. Well, that's the way those sheep were. They could hear their shepherd, and they recognized, hey, that's our shepherd. Of course, the porter wouldn't let anybody in except the shepherds through that gate. But sometimes there were thieves, and if they could catch the porter asleep, which they would try to do, they might climb over the wall and kill some sheep. Sometimes they would kill sheep right there in the fold and just throw the body over the wall because they'd use it for meat. And sometimes they would try to steal a live sheep and throw it over the wall because they wanted wool. They were interested in wool. We'll talk about the second kind of sheepfold in just a second when we get there in the passage. So that's one kind. So in verse 1 in chapter 10, Jesus said this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper," that's the porter, "opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." That's really beautiful. Notice it didn't say he herds them out, or he chases them out, or he drives them out. He leads them out. That's what Jesus does for us. Jesus leads us. He goes through the dangerous places first. Everywhere he leads us, he's been there. He knows. He knows how to get us through it. Hebrews says, "We do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." He's been there. He knows. He can identify with us.
That's something we don't know, really.
That's
we
right.
Don't know,
but he does, yes. And he leads us through everything. He knows how to do it. He's been there. Verse 4 says, "When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them." See, he's leading them. "And the sheep follow him." That's what we do with Jesus. "For they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." So, we hear Jesus calling out his flock. And by the way, when we get down to verses 19 and 20, we won't get there today, but in this chapter, a little bit later, we'll see there are people who don't know his voice, and they'll say, "He's insane. He's got a demon." That's what they said. They didn't recognize his voice. But his true sheep, he says, they'll recognize his voice. They'll follow Jesus. Verse 6 says, "This figure of speech," it's a metaphor, "Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.'" Now there's another beautiful picture.
People don't know that.
So that's right. But he's saying, "I am the shepherd." We've been looking at that. And now he's kind of changing it a little bit and said, "I'm the door." And that brings us to the second kind of sheepfold. As I understand it, sometimes those shepherds were a little bit too far away from town to bring them in, but they would have little makeshift folds, little private sheep folds out there. It was kind of small, comparatively, and they would put those sheep in there, and they were little enclosures. There was an opening to get them in there, but there was not a physical door or a physical gate there to keep them in. So what that shepherd would do is he'd get them all in, and then he'd just sit there or lie there at the door, at the opening. So the sheep couldn't get out unless they came through him. And a thief or a predator, a wolf, couldn't get in about coming through him. So he was the door. He was protecting those sheep as the door. He was the way in and out of that fold. And that's what Jesus is saying. "I'm the way in. I'm the way." You remember what Jesus told Thomas one time? This is in John also. Jesus said, "Where I'm going, you know, and the way, you know." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus basically said to him, "Oh, yeah, you do, Thomas. You know the way." What did he say? "I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the way. Just stay with me. Follow me. Trust me. I'll get you there." And that's what he's saying here. "I'm the door." Verse 8, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So in his sheepfold, we're safe. We're safe. We're protected from thieves. We're protected from robbers. We're protected from wolves. And we also, he says, we go in and out and find pasture. He provides for us. He feeds us. And he says, "I not only give you life, I give you life abundantly." He gives us abundant life. not just safety, but a life of abundance in Christ. So it's not like, you know, there have been times in history when Christians felt like they had to just get away from everybody and kind of live in a cloister or a compound or a monastery or something like that. But Jesus says, actually, I've come to give you a life that's full and exciting and abundant where you are. You don't have to go hide somewhere. I'm going to give you an abundant life where you are, life more abundant. I'll lead you in and out. I'll give you pasture. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. Now, that's an important thing, too. Jesus is the good shepherd. When we hear that word good, it's not quite in English as important as it is in Greek. When we think of the word good, we think of somebody that's morally good and upright and righteous. And that's true. That's contained in this word. But it's more than that. It implies greatness and majesty and excellence and beauty. That's the kind of shepherd he is. It's kind of like this. You all know the song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, I'm sure. That's a wonderful song, and I love it. It's a great praise song. You can think of any other praise song. I just happen to have that one written down here. But no matter how or who performs it or how they perform it, it's still a great song. It's a good song with powerful lyrics and everything. But if I were to sing it to you, the performance itself might be kind of weak when it comes to excellence and beauty, you see. But you go listen to our church choir before we go to church and the orchestra sing All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. It is the same words, but it's powerful and beautiful and excellent and majestic. It's just an awesome experience. And that's kind of what this word good implies. Jesus is the good shepherd, but not just in the sense of being morally good and morally upright and righteous, which he is, but in the sense of great and excellent and awesome and powerful. He's the good, powerful shepherd. If you had asked these Jews at the time what would come to their mind when they hear the words good shepherd, a lot of them would have probably said, oh, you're talking about King David, because they thought of him as the shepherd king. He was like the good shepherd to them. A lot of them thought of David as a good shepherd. He was one of their heroes. And so there may be a sense here in which Jesus is saying, you know what? There's somebody greater than David with you. Jesus is greater than King David. They thought King David was great, but Jesus said, you might have imagined that David is the great shepherd and the good shepherd, but the truth is, I am. It's interesting how Jesus does this. In chapter 5 of John, he made it clear that he was greater than the greatest leader they thought they'd ever had, Moses. Jesus said, there's one greater than Moses here with you. And then in chapter 8, he does the same thing with Abraham. They saw Abraham as the father of their faith. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. Jesus is greater than Abraham. He's greater than Moses. And now he's communicating, I'm greater than your greatest king. You think your greatest king was King David? You're wrong. I am. I'm the great shepherd. I'm the great king. I think we can go even further. I think maybe there's a hint here that he's God. Remember the 23rd Psalm? It says, the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus said, I'm your shepherd. I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. I'm God. I'm your shepherd. I've come to lead you. It's awesome. We're going to pick up this study right here next time. But right now, I just want us to be very, very thankful that we have an awesome, powerful, wise, loving, excellent, great shepherd. He is so awesome. So let's just thank him for that. Father, thank you so much that we get to be your sheep. Thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ is the great, awesome, mighty, glorious shepherd of the sheep. And Lord, we thank you that we have you to protect us as a shepherd protecting the sheep. And we thank you that we have you to lead us as a shepherd leads the sheep. And we thank you that we have you to provide for us as the shepherd provides for the sheep. Lord, we remember that sheep are pretty dumb and sheep are pretty weak and sheep can't really take care of themselves. And that describes us so well, Lord. We're dumb, we're weak, we can't take care of ourselves. But what a shepherd we have. So thank you, thank you, thank you that you have given yourself, you've given your life for the sheep. And Lord, thank you that you died for us and that you are the door, the way in, the way through, the way to provision, the way to heaven, the way to glory. You are the way to the Father. Only you, Lord. You are the door. You are the great shepherd. So we thank you for what you've done and what you are doing in our lives. Help us to worship you well and glorify you more and more and appreciate more and more what it means to have you for a shepherd. So Lord, tonight or later today when we lay our heads on our pillows, help us just to remember that you, the great shepherd of the sheep, are shepherding us while we sleep, while we're awake, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, when we're eating, when we're talking, you're shepherding your sheep. So help us to follow you well and just give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.